grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you, and also with you. We acknowledge that we worship on the land of the Kaurna people, the indigenous peoples of the Adelaide Plains, and traditional custodians of this land. We acknowledge their strong spiritual connection with the land over many centuries, and we pray that in the power of God's Spirit, we may all work for justice and reconciliation in this nation. This is Lent and the season of turning. We are called on this journey to turn our lives to the ways of God, to turn away from all those things that have harmed us and others, and to separate ourselves from actions and attitudes that demean and destroy. We come to worship God. Everyone who thirsts, welcome.
We come to receive God's living water.
Whatever you have been doing, wherever you have been, come and find your home in God's mercy.
We come to receive God's living water.
Come and be gathered into the unbreakable net of God's forgiveness.
Come to receive God's living water.
Come and greet the God of never-ending pardon. Let us join in prayer. We gather here, O God, and are reminded of your unending grace that offers us new life without price. Fill us with your love, that our hearts might overflow with justice and compassion. Challenge us to align our will with yours and to share your forgiveness and mercy with others. Amen. Let us now join in song with our masks on. God of creation,
Thank you.
Welcome to our worship. We warmly welcome all who are participating in worship with us, here today and or online. To those who are visiting, we invite you to join us for a cup of tea or coffee and sharing conversation in the hall after the service. Let us pray. Compassionate and merciful God, we call upon you this day with wonder at the extent of your love, grateful for your presence with us in our daily living. We come desiring to be closer to you. Bless our worship and our prayer and our songs, that you may be glorified and that we may be strengthened. We ask it in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. O God, we come trusting you with our lives and with the assurance that in all the moments of our lives, you offer forgiveness and grace and touch us with your healing power. We come knowing you welcome us as we are, persons who know both good and bad influences, the effects and choices. We come knowing our human frailty as well as our strength. Repentance, conversion of the heart, does not mean being filled and tormented by guilt. Instead, it means being ready to admit our responsibility for our actions and our need for forgiveness, and having a firm desire to change our life, to turn away from ourselves in prayer and love. Repentance means, above all, a constant, patient, growing in love. It means our willingness to open ourselves to the work of the Spirit in us and to embrace fully the gift of our salvation. Amen. Hear, therefore, these words of assurance. We know that God calls us into the ways of wholeness and healing and shows us another way to live.
We receive God's forgiveness. Thanks be to God.
Our first reading today comes from Psalm 63:1-8. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. The Gospel reading calls us to reject the idea that suffering is God's punishment for sin and blessing, or the avoidance of suffering, God's reward. Rather, we are called to recognise our own need of God's mercy and grace, and to respond by bearing fruit, manifesting the life. the life of God's reign and bringing grace and mercy into the world. This week we are shocked out of our complacency and challenged to be more determined in our commitment to follow Christ, even as we are assured of God's gift of God's presence and God's provision to fulfil our calling. It comes from Luke 13:1-9. At the very time there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did, or those 18 who killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse off offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." So endeth the readings. Thanks be to God.
Where in the world do fig trees grow, but grow no fruit to share? In the gardens of our good intentions, stifled by our inaction. Where in the world do fig trees grow, but grow no fruit to share? In the chapels where our prayers and songs fill the air, but there remain. Where in the world do fig trees grow, but grow no fruit to share? In pre-election rhetoric designed to win votes, but not to change a thing. Where in the world do fig trees grow, but grow no fruit to share? Here they grow around and within us, fig trees with no fruit to share. Forgive us, though we make poor use of the good soil that you give to us. Dig around and feed our roots and help us to grow again. Turn around, says Jesus, and I will restore and renew. Hear this promise. Receive this grace. God will enrich our growing. Take heart and be at peace. Amen. 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 The song we sing is, "Come and fill our hearts with your peace." It's a prayerful song. It's a song of prayer. We sing it through twice, then there'll be an instrumental, and then we'll sing it again together. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. When you look at the world, what do you see? Do you see a world full of negative experiences or a happy and positive place? A world to be used and exploited for personal and communal gain, or a world in need of caring and stewardship of resources? Do you see people as basically good or out to get you? Do you see people for who they are, or what they've been, or what they might become? Are you a half full glass of water or a half empty glass of water kind of person? How we look at things determines sometimes how we react to certain things, and particularly to people. How we look at people determines how we will react to them as individuals and also as communities. Today's gospel reading from Luke is a doozy. It's a great classic. It talks about repentance and also a parable of a fig tree that does not produce fruit or figs and what should happen to it. If I were to sum up today's text in about one word or so, it would have to be grace. God's undeserved, unmerited favour shown toward us. It is seeing what can be instead of seeing what currently is. Potentiality, second chance, and opportunity. In our consumer society, seemingly seduced by the illusion that bigger is better, the desire for more power, the trend for the instant and temporary outweighs patience, potential. If it doesn't work, well, then we discard it rather than fixing it. If it doesn't produce fruit, then we chop it down. If it's slow, we want to speed it up. If it's not the latest version, then we don't want it. And if it hasn't got a label on it, then it's not fashionable. When you look at the world, what do you see? The first half of the text from Luke chapter 13, 1 to 5, talks about two unrelated and unknown events in which seemingly innocent people have died. And the question is put to Jesus, who sinned? Whose sin caused this to happen? Jesus replies, well, nobody's. No one sinned. It just happened. Remember when the time when Jesus asked why a man was born blind? And was it his father's sin? Was it the mother's sin? Jesus says, well, no, it was neither. Here in this passage, Jesus adds a twist, a little nip to heels. No sin caused these events or anything like it. But if you don't repent, then you'll all end up the same. That is, dead. Unless you turn to God, you too will die. Fascinating. The point is that death is death, that things happen to good people and to bad people. It happens. But Jesus would have been talking about the death of our being, of our soul, of our spirit being cut off from life. So Jesus says, repent, turn around, return to God, walk in God's ways and walk with God. And biblical history tells us that the people around Jesus' time and earlier had great difficulty in turning to God fully and continually fell in and out of favour of God. Hence the parable of the barren fig tree. Now let's not draw too many assumptions in this parable to God as being a wrathful God or a short-sighted or lacking vision. This is, after all, a parable. It's a story. It's a made-up story, an illustration to make a point. It's created to bite. For the time being, let's be happy with God saying, your time is up. Until now, it hasn't worked. For 3 years, I've come to this owner of the vineyard, the fig tree, come looking for figs and found none. I don't give a fig anymore. Generation after generation, they haven't caught on. Prophet after prophet, act of God after act of God. This is it, no more. Their sacrifices, their religion, their good works, their going to church, it's not working. God's had enough. Chop it down. There's no potential here, no future. However, my son tells me he's willing to go into bat for you, to step in to see if he can't turn things around, pull this world together. He says, Dad, there's one thing that I haven't tried. Be patient. I've got an idea. These people have potential. All they need is a second millionth chance. I've got a plan that will produce the goods. When you look at the world, what do you see? The text is about obtaining another chance. Do we deserve a second chance? We who are created in the image of God. We who are God's favoured creation. We who are God's daughters and sons. We who try to live the good life, who do the right thing, keep the Ten Commandments. No, we don't. No. We don't deserve a second chance. And God knows we've had a few. And that is what the fig tree story is saying. No. But the bite in this parable is that while we do not deserve a second chance, while we cannot earn it, we cannot buy it, in fact, we get one. We get one. The owner of the fig tree looked at the tree and didn't see missing fruit. He saw an otherwise green tree in leaf without fruit. There was something worth saving. He couldn't listen to the gardener who said, tear it up and plant something else. Even though the tree had been there for 3 years, he still had hope. When you look at the world, what do you see? Some people get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. While others say, good Lord, it's morning. Or you could say, good Lord, it's morning. Are we looking with Jesus' eyes, who sees potential, who believes in us, who sees the good in us and in others, who sees like a sculptor that piece of wood or that stone of what can become, an artist with a canvas who has a vision to see what can be? I used to love, we don't really have it much now these days, hard rubbish collection days. Now you've got to ring up the council and put the stuff out in the street. But if you're clever enough and drive around, you might see something like a kitchen cabinet on the side of the road. A bit run down, cracked, paint blistering off, few parts missing. Well, I found one day, and I drove home, and I went back with a sack truck on the wheels, walked a mile or two, put it on the sack truck, and I wheeled it home. And I worked on that kitchen cabinet for a while, and it's in our kitchen with all our glassware, restored and given a second chance. Someone's discarded rubbish has become a treasure. Why do we get a second chance? Because God in Jesus sees us for who and what we will become and what we are. And I say thank God for second chances. We can be happy that the kingdom of God is not composed of chopped down orchards, but rather orchards that have been revitalized. When we practice grace, and not judgment or exclusions, but inclusiveness and welcome in diversity, hospitality, and outreach. When we share in the gospel of love and reconciliation, then new and renewed life begins to sprout. So getting back to the parable, it's interesting to note that the fig tree actually does nothing. It just stands there. The action is that of the gardener, and the action of the one is watering and fertilizing, nurturing, care and salvation. The tree simply stands there and receives a gift. And the text concludes with the invitation to cut it down if after this action by the gardener results in fruitlessness. If there's a bite before the parable, then here comes the sting. Here's the main point. But first a question. Why is this text chosen for Lent 4? Or Lent 3, actually. 4 weeks from Easter. Maybe because it's an insight. It's a parable of Easter. It's a parable of the cross. And Jesus becoming fertilizer for us. Broken body. Poured blood. Let's revisit the gardener. Jesus speaking. When I water the tree, me being living water, and fertilize it with manure, me being blood and bone, and the bread of life, then it will produce. Up until now, all efforts have failed. On its own, it cannot and will not. It's no good. I will give my life to it and for it. This is a story for all of us, those who have ears to listen. John chapter 10, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life, more life than ever before, for all you little fig trees. And because the story is open-ended, perhaps we are to make our own conclusions, to add our own ending. What will it be? Will you soak up the nutrients and grow in the life of Christ, in the love of God? Will you allow Jesus to tend and nurture you more and more? When Jesus looks at the world, what does he see? When Jesus looks at you and me, what does he see? See something worthy, something or someone who will not give up on, something beautiful. When Jesus looks at the world, what does he see? He sees you and he sees me and he sees potential, not the failures. When you look at the world, what do you see? For this is a day of new beginnings. The song we will sing now, this is a day of new beginnings, of time, of opening up and being renewed. So let's sing together with our masks on, this is a day of new beginnings.
Just want to remind you of all the news and events that are happening in our church. Please take time to read the newsletter, the news sheet. Want to remind you that today's the last day to nominate for elders. Nomination forms are available from the stand near the office window or electronically. And should you wish to receive a digital version, please contact Bruce Ind. Please prayerfully consider this genuine request to see if you are able to discern a call or identify someone else who might be invited to consider serving in leadership within Moriarty Uniting Church. If you have questions, please speak to myself or Bruce Ind. A big thank you to all those who baked cakes or volunteered to sell baked goods or to help with the sausage sizzle yesterday. There are many goodies still left to be purchased. They're there in the hall, cakes, biscuits, jams, and some sausages too that are left over. Both. many other things happening as well. Gateways is starting Harmony Week, morning tea this week, and Palm Sunday Peace and Justice Walk. And Bruce, I think you have a notice. Bob, I think you have a notice as well.
Yes, thank you. An invitation has come to me and to us to join in the Afghan Cultural Association. There's an invitation to honour women's fight for equality and justice in Afghanistan. The Afghanistan Culture of South Australia organisation invites you, me, and your team, us to attend the Afghan Cultural Woman of the Year Award and to celebrate Women's Day. Now, it's next Sunday, and I'm not able to go, so I'm asking whether there's... So it's 11 o'clock for 11:45 lunch, and I think it goes for a fair while in the afternoon, and it's at Bowdoin, and it's invitation only, and it was meant to have RSVP on Friday, but I said to Mercil I would contact her today if some people would like to go. So if you would like to go to represent our church, our community, please see me afterwards. It's a lunch in order to celebrate Women's Day and the Afghan Cultural Association. So please see me, 11 o'clock, I know it's not just on church time, but you could go from here and be there for sure at the right time. So see me afterwards. If we could get a couple of people to go, that would be great.
Let us now join me in our offering and prayers. So many people give in so many ways to work for our church, to Christ's work, to God's work, and for that we are grateful. We dedicate those gifts of time, energy, expertise, and money to furthering that work in our local community and beyond. We pray that lives will be truly enhanced by our wise use of these gifts. Amen. Let us continue in responsive prayers for our world and the Lord's Prayer. Lord God, you are a mystery, the totality of which is unfathomable to us. Yet we seek to know you better.
Do our best in and for your world.
In a land where you are largely treated with indifference,
we long for your way to become reality.
We have seen you in the life of Jesus. Your all-embracing love is the essence of life. That in our words and actions, may we have the courage to challenge false idols. May we cherish and nurture yours and our world. Like the fruitless fig tree, stimulate our lives to bear good fruit. A world that cries out for your good fruit. Our Father in heaven, remind us constantly that you are parent to all your children, whoever and wherever they are to come from. Establishing peace and justice, hope and life for all peoples. Disturb us into awareness of the needs of others. Our pride and our prejudice. Especially keep our hearts and minds open to see the good in others.
Deliver us from evil, for thy kingdom is
just and true, gentle and fair, shot through with the colours of love. Let us now join in song, God, our help in ages past.
So tread carefully, but not anxiously. Travel boldly, but not proudly. Travel happily, but not flippantly. And you will achieve more than you will ever understand here on earth. So therefore, may the love of God be with you all, Christ of grace be for you all, and the Spirit of truth be among you all. Go this morning and to bear fruit and be little fig trees in our world. In the love of Christ, amen. Peace be with you. And I'll remind you to remain social distancing as we leave here. We gather into the hall for tea and coffee, masks on until you're sitting down eating, and share news and whatnots from your week with each other. Thank you.